All right. So, are you guys in 2 Peter?
Yes.
Go ahead and get there. Now, some years ago, before I became a missionary, actually even before I even knew the Lord, right? I actually transitioned to becoming a child of God during this particular time of my life, right? When I was in my late 20s. And during that time, I worked in sales and marketing. And part of my job was to travel around the country, participate in trade shows. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to a trade show, but I think probably most of you have been to the Texas State Fair. How many of you have been to the State Fair before, right? And you've seen the pavilions in the State Fair, and they have these little booths that are set up, and there's all kinds of wares and knickknacks and goodies that you can go in, and you can go booth to booth, and you can purchase those items. Well, a trade show basically is that same line of thought, or if you can picture that venue in your mind, you can see a trade show. It's a little different clientele. It's usually wholesale, business to business. And in those trade shows, there are many different types of vendors. There are many different types of products. And while I was working, at times, when it was slow, I would have the opportunity to walk around and see what everybody was offering and see the different products and wares that the people had. And sometimes you would see things that were being offered that looked just like an original, but in reality, they were not. They're called knockoffs. Right, there were companies that would use these knockoffs that it was an item or a product that looked just like the original that was very costly or like a brand name like Rolex or Prada or something like that. But maybe I'm dating myself here because those things probably don't even exist anymore. But those types of products, it would look just like it, but the reality was that it was just a cheap imitation that people were selling to make a profit. So some of those items were done very well. I mean, it was hard even for industry professionals to look at those things and distinguish the difference between them, these knockoff products and the original ones. So I heard a story of a guy that was really knowledgeable in watches. And he said that usually by looking at the outside of one of these knockoff watches, you couldn't tell the difference. That the only way that you could really tell the difference was to open it up and look inside. And companies use different ways to market their products. And sometimes they inadvertently misrepresent what they're selling. And sometimes you don't even know what the product is until you get inside. Sometimes these are innocent mistakes. Sometimes it's overt false advertising just to get you to purchase or to participate in their product. However, when we think about God and we think about when God is being represented, it must be done correctly. It must be done correctly, right? And if not, then according to the scriptures, that person or the person who is presenting these falsehoods or presenting maybe even inadvertently something that they think is good and think is right, but that is not, they're a false prophet. They're a knockoff prophet. It's just like false labels, right? Labels on the outside of these products, they maybe you see it and you think, well, that's what it is. But then when you open it, you have to open it up to actually really see what it is and what's in there. And that's what 2 Peter, especially this second chapter, is all about. It's about making us aware that there were false prophets. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, the first verse, it starts with a word that it's but, right? Now, but it's a connecting word. It's a word that it's a transitional word. So It's just like the word therefore. When you guys see a therefore in the Bible, you need to find out what it's there for, right? So it's a connecting word. It says everything that we're talking about right here is contingent upon what comes before. And for you Bible scholars or studious people, you know that's called context, right? So since we have this word but, we actually need to go back a little bit into the first chapter of 2 Peter and think about the reason why we have this transitional word. Now, the whole first chapter, it's really amazing. And quite honestly, I actually thought about teaching on the first chapter. But when I was looking through my notes, I saw that I already taught on the first chapter on Wednesday night not long ago. So I was like, well, okay, we'll just continue and we'll go ahead and go into chapter two. But the first chapter is great because Peter, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that he's talking to believers because he's talking about the grace of the Lord being multiplied to those that also have come into that same relationship as he had with the Lord. And then in the second section of 2 Peter, the first chapter, he talks about these attributes of faith and being diligent in our faith and having virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And it's kind of like a stair step. You know, you're building one thing upon top of the other thing and you're looking at it and you know that you're growing and you're advancing in the Lord when you practice these things. So Peter, he's just exhorting and he's encouraging the believers to walk with the Lord, to grow, and to make sure that they're advancing in their walk with the Lord. And then he goes in and he says, I'm giving you all this information because something crazy is going to happen to me. Something bad is going to happen to me. I know that I don't have a lot of time to live. So before I go, I want to impart this knowledge to you guys, to the younger people who are believers, who are walking with the Lord, so that you have some information that's solid, so that you can continue your walk with the Lord, so you can continue and you can advance with him. And then after that, he goes into basically the precursor for chapter 2, in verse 16. And he says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the eyewitnesses of his majesty, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Speaking of that transfiguration, right? And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there you have it in a nutshell, the context, the precursor to the word but. Peter is saying, you guys know that the scriptures are true, that prophecy was confirmed in this transfiguration, that it was spoken before time and eternity. It was spoken by the prophets that these things were going to happen, that Jesus was going to come, that he was going to live, that he was going to be without sin, that he would go to the cross, that he would die, and that he would be the propitiation. A big word for just that meaning that he would be the acceptable sacrifice for all of us, for our sins. And that the scriptures testify of these things. And that the prophecy is true. And it's the real deal. But, chapter 2. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So we see this whole introduction is given so that Peter can warn the people of God, both then and now, that there's the real deal, there's truth, there's light, and then there's the false. So, chapter 1, verse 16 to 21 speaks about that prophetic word, the real word, and the truth. And then chapter 2, he says, even in the beginning, even among the people, the Israelites, there were false prophets. Now, it sounds kind of pretty harsh, right? Some of this wording that we're reading right now about these false teachers, that they'll be among you, that they'll bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Some of this language sounds kind of harsh. And some people might say, well, what if they're like sincere? Well, their sincerity doesn't work in this case, right? If a doctor, knowing that you or I had a terminal disease, say like cancer, would tell us, oh, it's all going to be okay, right? All you need to do is just take an aspirin and go home and you'll be fine. Maybe that's something that you would want to hear and that's something that I would want to hear. But if it's not true, is it the best thing? No. It won't work, right? You want the truth because you want the opportunity to fight for your life. So sincerity doesn't work. So God, He loves you. He loves me. He loves us enough to warn us, you and I, about these people who, these guys who will be here and present falsehood in place of truth, right? So we need to be careful what we let in, what we let influence us. There's a lot of influencers, what they call them, in the world today, right? And I think they spout off all kinds of false doctrines. Maybe not from the pulpit, but they spread a lot of damaging doctrine. So we, as believers, right, we need to be able to understand when we're dealing with false teachers. And so there's three principles that I want to go over with you guys tonight. And the first one is that we need to know the characteristics of false teachers. And the second is that we need to know the fate of false teachers. And also we need to know with whom we stand. With whom do you stand? So the first is to know the characteristics of false teachers. Well, first off is that they are among us. And that's what it says right here in verse 1. It says that even like the false prophets were among the people, there will be false teachers among you. So they're here. They're among us, right? They were among the Israelites and during the time of the early church, and they're with believers today. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13, it's actually a chapter, and it talks about it gives instructions to the Israelites and how they were to deal with false prophets. And the first five chapters are real. I mean, five verses are actually very interesting. And Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5 says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. So, pretty serious stuff, right? I mean, the Lord commanded the Israelites to kill a false prophet if they were speaking falsehoods. Even if they said some prophetic word and it came true, but then they said, well, you know, we got to go after this other God over here. We got to go worship this thing over here. We got to go after this thing over here. We got to bow down to this. We got to submit to this. Anything that wasn't the Lord, they weren't to live. Pretty harsh stuff. Pretty severe stuff. I know we can't do that today, you know. There would be a lot of issues if we did that today, right? I mean, yeah. But it just shows you how serious the Lord is about his word, about his character, about people following him, about people paying attention to him, about us following him, paying attention to him, allowing him to transform us, surrendering to him, and not putting other things above him. It's so easy to do that, to let other things get in the way, to let anything get above him. I heard a story some years ago of a lady, a believer, right? And she had a dream. And in her dream, the rapture was taking place. And she was ecstatic because the Lord was calling everybody up, right? And she felt herself starting to float up, right, in her dream. And then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, she stopped. She's like, oh, what's going on? And she looked down, and in her dream, there was a rope tied around her ankle, and it was tied to this brand new couch. And it was like she was just giving testimony about this dream, right? And how the couch was holding her back. Because it was a brand new couch. It was something that she had wanted. And obviously, the Lord was just impressing upon her that her priorities were not exactly where they needed to be. That she was letting things get in the way or take the place of where he only should be. So, God also, through the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 and 17, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. We just need to be careful about these types of proclamations. When people are saying, you don't have to pay attention to what the Lord says, and you'll be okay. In Jeremiah 27, God says that these false prophets are liars. Peter, Paul, John, and Jude, they all speak about false prophets in their writings, in their teachings, right? And they all say that they're going to be among the true believers in the time of the church. And that's when we live, ladies and gentlemen, in the time of the church. Jesus himself, in Matthew 7:15, he says, to beware of the false prophets, that they will come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. Watch out for those knockoffs, right? They're among us. That's the first thing. The second description of them is that they are destructive and deceptive. They're destructive because the fact that they deny the Lord. And we know that false prophets always deny the Lord, right? In some way. If you're speaking with any group, right? Anybody comes to your door and they want to talk to you about God. And you want to know if they're legit or not. If they actually know the Lord or not. Just ask them about Jesus. And if they're right on about Jesus, about who he is, then they're a legitimate believer. But if they reject, or if they don't receive Jesus, or if they don't accept him and who he is legitimately, then you know they're not real. 1 John 4:1-3 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So they reject, they distort, they twist some aspect of Jesus, of who he is, right? His preexistence, his incarnation, his being without sin, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven. In some way or form, they twist or they reject or they distort these truths about the Lord. And those are ways that we can actually see the truth or the lie. So verse 2, it says that back in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, as many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So, it says that the way of truth will be blasphemed because of them. Another attribute, right? An attribute of the false prophets. So, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that these guys lie, because Satan is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. So, in verse 3, we see that by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So, they're covetous, right? They have a covetous nature. When I was a missionary in Panama, there was actually a missionary from Spain who came to visit myself and wanted to actually speak in our church. And when he came to visit, I just had this weird feeling, right? I don't know. It was like the Spirit was just giving me discernment in that minute, in that moment. And I just did not have a quiet spirit about this man. And he was showing me his passport and his stamps in his passport and talking about all the places that he went to in Spain, that he was preaching the word. And then he kind of got to the point of his message to me that particular day in one of the rooms in the church. And he said he was destitute. And I just, in my spirit, I felt that there was a falsehood. And then he started putting on this show, you know, and putting his head down and sobbing. And I started to pray for him. And then I noticed that he's like putting the show on. And then all of a sudden he like opens his eye, you know, and gives me that sideways glance. It was just an interesting issue. And I knew he wasn't real. I knew that I couldn't let him into the church. There was a falsehood about him. And Paul in Acts 20:33, he said that he had not coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes, but that he had worked to supply his own needs. So just like that guy from that missionary that supposedly was from Spain, a lot of these guys that are propagating these lies, they go on the internet or they go on TV and they're in it only for the money. And they say things like, you got to give today or this ministry won't go on. Well, if that's the case, then it shouldn't go on, right? It's like God's broke or something, you know? I mean, come on. We know that if God is guiding, then he will provide. This ministry here is a testimony to that fact. All those years where God has provided and he's given, and you've heard Pastor Bill talk about the way that he has just moved in amazing, incredible ways and provided for all the needs. I've seen it happen in my own life. When he called me to go to ministry in Panama, he was always providing. We always had what we needed. Many times, we didn't even let people know about the need. And there would be extra funds that would come in every time we had a child, it was like the giving went up. It was just the Lord showing his hand. And the fact that he knows who we are and he knows what we need. And that if we seek him first and his righteousness, all the other things will be added to us. So we know what they're about, right? They're covetous. They're destructive. They're deceptive. They're among us. Now we need to know what is their fate. Verses 4 through 8, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, commanded them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So we see that their destruction, the false prophet's fate is destruction. And we see there's examples of destruction of the fallen angels, of the ancient world, of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the same fate will fall on these false prophets. Maybe you say, well, why doesn't it happen right now, right? Maybe we all ask that question. But you know, the Lord is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he gives us all the opportunity. And speaking of opportunities, we also know that God will not allow his people to perish with the ungodly. And that's what verse 9 tells us. It says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So this is a principle that I want us to catch, right? God, he will deliver those that are his before he doles out any punishment in the day of judgment. We need to know that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to know who we are and who we're in. And just like we know what's going to happen to the people that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that those of us that receive the Lord Jesus and that walk with him, we're secure in his hand. He's done it all. It says, verses 10 and 11 go on, and it says, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, speaking back about those false prophets, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So verses 10 and 11 show us another truth, that they despise authority. So I would say that the Lord's authority, that they're despising that, living after only fleshly things, the here and now. It says that they speak evil of dignitaries. Now, speaking evil of someone, even when the angels wouldn't do it, that's not very wise. In Jude 1:9, it says that Michael, he didn't even bring an accusation against the devil, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." We just need to give them to the Lord, you know. Give them to him. Let him take care of it. So we've got a lot of tough language here. We're going to go ahead and finish it up through from verses 12 to 14. It says, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. So this is tough language, right? So why is it so important? Well, it brings us to our final point. You got to know where you stand. You got to know with who you walk. It says here that they will, they have this eye full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. They're enticing unstable souls. So if you don't know who you are in the Lord, if you don't know where you stand, if you don't understand that you're His, you could be enticed. You could be drawn away, right? You've got to know where you stand to not be enticed, to not be unstable. You guys have heard it said that you are what you eat, right? I don't know how many of you guys have heard that saying. Okay, right? And I guess I'm, you know, I eat pretty good. I eat a lot of stuff that's probably not great for me. But when you put that in a spiritual sense, right, you got to know that if you eat the right stuff, if you're putting the right stuff in your mind, if you're spending time with the Lord, hanging out with Him, talking to Him, letting Him talk to you, you're going to grow, right? On the contrary, if you have spiritual junk food, or maybe not even any spiritual food at all, if you're just going like week to week, you know, Sunday to Sunday, you're going to be pretty weak. You're going to be fair game for any wind of doctrine, any falsehood that's being propagated. Let us not do that, ladies and gentlemen. Let us decide today, here and now, that we're going to spend time with the Lord. That we're going to let Him talk to us. That we're going to receive from Him individually, from His Word. We're going to believe Him. And we're going to see Him work. And that's what He wants to do. That's what He wants to do in your life. That's what He wants to do in my life. Our God is in the business of transformation. Our God is in the business of taking the junk and restoring it, making it shiny and new. Our God is in the business of transforming us from the inside out. We got to be careful what we're putting in. When I was a kid, a young guy, you know, I grew up in central New Mexico, over there in the farm, right? And we had livestock, we had cattle. And there was this particular weed that would grow. And the healthy cattle wouldn't touch it, wouldn't go near it. It was called loco weed, or crazy weed, right? Yeah, I'm from New Mexico, so it was known as loco weed, right? Which is crazy in Spanish. And I only saw the effects of this a couple times. When a cow would eat that weed, they would only want to eat that weed. But the issue with that particular weed was it would make them crazy. And they would stop eating. They would bend their head down and they would act like they were eating. They would walk around and they would be getting thin and they wouldn't be eating anything. But I guess in their mind, they thought they were getting full. They would go to the water and they wouldn't drink water. They would just bend their head down and eventually, well, it's no surprise what happened. They would die. I mean, we would always go out. And any time you would see one of those, it was like, get the shovel, dig it up, right? Get rid of it. Because we don't want them going after that false stuff. Because we don't want them to perish. Right? It's the same principle here, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We don't want you guys going after false stuff. I'll say it 100 times. All our teaching staff will tell you guys, you got to go after the real deal. Seek it like it's treasure. Because then you'll get full. And you look like me. Well, guys, I certainly hope that this little Bible study has been beneficial for everybody. May the Lord bless you all. May He keep you. May you be strengthened until we meet again in this coming Sunday. I certainly hope that you will get into the Word and allow God's Spirit to speak to you. May it be a priority in your life. Let's finish it up. Lord God, thank you so much for these few minutes that we've had together. To think about your word, to look at this passage that has so many warnings, but among the warnings, there is so much hope. Because the hope is that we have a God who cares enough about us. You, Lord, you care enough about us that you tell us the truth. Your love draws us to you. And it's the truth. You love us so much. You love us just like we are. But you love us too much to leave us like we are. You're transforming and you're working us. Working inside each and every one of us, Lord. So I pray that you would do that. Now more than ever. That we would be rooted and grounded in you and your love. And that we'd seek you first. We praise you, Lord, and we love you. And we put ourselves in your mighty, capable hands. In Jesus' name, amen.